right, guys. Okay, we got Blog reconnected. All right, guys. Look here. We got reconnected. I had to go through an alternate system to get back in. Most of you kind of heard the things go goes in studios, and we're trying to get things out of order and get it back in order. So we're back in. And for those of you who are calling back into the show, you're more welcome to call back in. But also, I want to let you know, it's our Tuesday night testimony. I am Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. We really apologize for all the background interference you guys had to experience during the course of time of trying to get back up. But this is how the things we do as in production. We want to make that noise. And sometimes we're in a solid booth, and I got to kind of pitch my voice up there to get moving. But we're not going to waste any time on the word on this afternoon. We got back in really luckily here, but I'm going to seal something here to make sure we don't fall out of this particular system as I shut one down. Hopefully when I shut this one down, this one won't go out. So I'm going to try this here, but I want you guys to get prepared for the book of Isaiah. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 20. Let's revert on something. Let's flip back on something. Let's do something different here. Since this happened, and I got something that the Holy Spirit just dropped on me, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20, and let's flip this thing on the devil. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20, and let's hear what the Word of God has to say. Come from 2 Kings chapter 20. You guys, give me just a moment. I'm going to get some things solidified here, get the studio doors locked back up, because I don't want any noise. I know I got people in the house moving around. Things are going on, and we don't want you guys to be actually outside of this room that's about to come forth. Let's get our Bibles, go to 2 chapter. Let's go to 2 Kings, a 20th chapter, and we're going to talk about some things in the area of Hezekiah and the word that came from the kingdom of God through the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to talk about that a little bit just here, just a few minutes. You guys, give me just a second. All right. Look here, we may not get many of the people back in because I think they're still kind of thinking the system is out, but I'm actually making some calls during the course of the time. And we actually sending out signals to those who got off the air and wasn't able to stay on the air during the course of the time. It was going through this little spree that we're dealing with. But we thank God that we're back in and we're getting ready to roll here. Let me pull up some information here. And we're going to go over to the book of 2 Kings. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings. Get ourselves organized here. I want to get myself organized. I'm telling you, that was a blow. You know, the word of God declares and decrees that, you know, the enemy comes in, you know, comes to do one thing, that's to kill, steal, and destroy. But the word of God declares he came to give us life and life more abundantly. But this is one of the things I'm talking about. When you're going through dilemmas in your life, you're going through circumstances in your life, and it seems like things come out of nowhere to try to attack you, bombard you, make you feel other than what God declared you to be. This is what we have to do. We got to keep continuing to push forward. You got to do things you need to do to move on and be able to accept the fact that it's okay. We're going through a shadow. We're going through a dilemma. We're going through a circumstance. We're going through a situation. And what we got to do, we got to poise ourselves and we got to maintain. And we got to get ourselves in position to receive what God is speaking in the season that we're in. Now, this little situation that just took place is a typical example. As we take our Bibles, go to the book of 2 Kings. Now, let's go to the book of 2 Kings. And I still got some things here in the 2 Kings. I want to go and open up a prayer before we get started. Father God, we declare in the name of Jesus. Then as we begin to go into your word, Father God, you give us the information, illumination, transformation through the Spirit. That even as we begin to pray and declare a decree, Father God, we know that no weapon formed, created, designed, or engineered against your prophets, your priests, that's called into the system and do the kingdom work in this season which we're in, that shall prosper. Father God, I declare the word right now in the name of Jesus. Then as we patent through the power and the precious Holy Spirit, Father God, you protect this word. And I declare and decree to Father God that no weapon created, designed, or engineered against this shall prosper. I declare right now, Father God, that even as we go forth, Father God, you'll create me and make me into a conduit to do just what you call me to do in the season which I'm in. Father God, I declare right now that it's already done through the manifestation, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. These things I speak not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. We're going to go out of a few different scriptures here. We're going to go out of we're going to look at the book of Kings. We've got a few scriptures in it. We've got a few different Bibles here. We're going to look at one. We're going to go out of the King James Version. We're going to move over to the Amplified Version, just kind of solidifying scripture, getting some, you know, some information, just kind of making things to a point we can get it to understand that what we're talking about is really what God deals with in the area of altercations. We deal with things in life such as just took place during the course of the studio time. But this particular story deals with the king of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was had a death sentence put against him against the word of God. It came from one of his prophets, Isaiah, true powerful prophet Isaiah. One of my best prophets in the Bible is Isaiah. But in this particular scripture, you know, in 1 Kings, we have the King James Version of the first half. We're going to move to the Amplified Version. We're going to move a little bit over to the International Version. But we want to look at the first part of these particular first three scriptures in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. And we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say during the course of this time that we're speaking right now. The Bible says in those days, Hezekiah was sick. You know, sometimes we go through things in our life. No, not just to focus on Hezekiah, what's going on with him. It ain't necessarily to be a sickness that's going on in your life. What we're trying to get you to see right here in the course of this word is when God reveals a word through the prophet to go to speak to you, and knowing something in your life is going to be transferred and changed. The Bible declares, according to Amos 3:7, that word don't come into the land that's revealed through the mouth of the prophet, the priest, who God called to do just what he called him to do. Now, in this particular scripture, Hezekiah was a good man, but there were some things that kind of pulled him out of the regions of what God really designed and engineered him to be. In other words, Hezekiah was going through some circumstances in his life, and during the course of time, God caused some things to happen to him to bring his attention to hand. Now, we deal with things in our life, we go with things in our life, but sometimes it always got to be because we've done something negative or done something bad. Sometimes God just want to get our attention to the point he's called to a greater area of the ministry, all the walk with him, all the praise him. So sometimes he got to touch us a little bit to bring us to the point that we got to realize and understand that he's yet in control. And the word of God says no weapon, that's what it says in Isaiah 55:11, that no weapon formed, created, designed, or engineered against God's people shall prosper. Now, you got to understand this. He may shoot some arrows, but they won't make any penetration because the word of God declares in the book of Ephesians, I got to put on the whole armor of God. I withstand the wiles of the devil. What is the wiles of the devil? Circumstances, situations, events, orange cones, ditches, different language, a lingo that come at us, as they say, and try to prevent us to be an opposite of what God declared us to be. God said he created us and designed us and engineered us to be what? Men and women, God, to declare, to go forth the word, to bring forth the word in the season which we're in. Go back to the book of Jeremiah before we go back over to Kings. Go to the book of Jeremiah 1:5. The word of God talks about how we were formed, created, designed, and engineered to do a work, to be prophets before the nation. That God has put things in us to know, to understand, and realize that he's the one that's in control of all the things that's going on in our life. The word of God says over here in the book of Isaiah. Well, not Isaiah. Let's go back to the book of Kings. We'll go to Isaiah in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, that first verse. In the days that Hezekiah was sick unto death. Listen to how he says this. He said, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said, this is interesting. This is how you go back to the book of Isaiah. You believe what the word of God says. The word of God says, no weapon formed against him, created, designed against him that should prosper. Now, he's saying something to a point to get you to see something. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is a foreign word, even through the mouth of his prophets and his priests. When God declares a word, he said he exalted his word above his name. That means when we go to understand and realize that who we are and whose we are, that whatever defense that the enemy tries to throw at us, he can't penetrate our armor because we have fought and sought by the Most High God. Word of God said once again in the book of 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, in the days of Hezekiah. Now, the days of Hezekiah could have been a lot of things. You know, Hezekiah can be going through situations in his life. Like me and you go through things sometimes, jumbulations, sicknesses, illness, financial difficulties, you know, separation, whatever it may be. You know, it didn't necessarily be the sickness I said before. But once God sent the word of a prophet to confirm whatever's going on in your life to be a fact of what he said it is, you know the word of God said, his word will not go back void, but it will accomplish all that therein and where he sent it. If God's going to send out a word, then that word's going to do just what he designed and engineered it to be. And we got to realize and understand that if we trust in God's word, according to what is it, Proverbs 3:5, lean not to our own. But as we begin to acknowledge God, and I mean, not just in everything we do, the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And look at all of his righteousness. And then he said, all of these things will be added unto you. Even when God begins to send forth a word to you to get your attention about a depth. Sometimes we have something critical happen in life. God gets our attention. Word came to Hezekiah from this man of God, the son of Amos. And he told Hezekiah, man, look, you're going to die. When you read the scripture straight out, it said, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, that was some pretty profound words. But God sent forth a word. He said, every word that proceeded out of his mouth is a forwarding word. When we look at the illustrations of creation of earth and time, everything that God said, he spoke it into existence. He didn't go back and erase anything. So what we're seeing here, that it's a sure word that's coming through the kingdom of God through the prophet Amos. We talk about the book of Amos. We understand the book of Amos. It's a prophetic book if you read it, especially around that third chapter. He talks about how the things that God has declared to his prophets, and he begins to bring them into the land, they will not go back void. Matter of fact, Amos 3 and 7 talks about that. God don't reveal a word into the land unless revealed to the prophet. God needs a man to bring a word into the land. See, God won't deal with flesh and blood. Talk about the process of Jesus Christ down on the cross. Word of God says that Jesus said, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because all the sins of the world was on his son. And he had to bear those sins. So in the midst of him bearing all of our sins, all of our infirmities, he turned his faith away from his son. And so all those sins that were mine and yours to come, that even before time, he was bearing everything from my sins, your children's sins, your sister's sins, your brother's sins, all the things you encountered during this course of time over 2,000 years ago. So he turns his face away from something because he didn't bear to see the sin that was on his son who was sinless. But he had to go through death in order to kill all, which is the last enemy, that is death. And once he done that, he said, the last enemy I'm going to take out is going to be death. So I'm going to grab the keys, and I'm going to go down, and I'm going to kick Satan's teeth out, and I'm going to grab the keys up out of his hand, and I'm going to release the captive, and I'm going to send them out to be the prophesy and preach and teach the word, and things that they saw in the coming of me as being their Messiah. And so we look at Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was sick unto death, knowing that a sure word came from the kingdom of God. The Bible said he had to get his house in order. Now, let's just think about this. Let's flip it around. Let's look at this a little bit closely about how he said that, how the word came to him, and how he's in the position of actually in a death-defying situation, and then you don't know what's going on. I want to take a minute here. Now, I've got some more calls that's coming in. I want to make sure these actually international calls are getting into us. So we want to make sure we're getting those in. But in the process of we thinking and talking about this, we want to make sure we're getting a good understanding about what's going on in the life of this man of God, Hezekiah. Now, we go to the second verse. Got the second verse a little. Let's kind of light things up a little bit. And then he turned his face to the wall. And this is sometimes how we deal with stuff. And when we deal with stuff, we find ourselves crying out to God in the midst of our infirmities. We know that God is a good God. But when we go through troubles and tribulations in our life, we seem to turn to God even more. And this is what we should be doing every day. The word of God declared when that word came to Hezekiah, it stuck in his brain. And I'm telling that man of God said his body was covered with boils in those days. And they say as he began on his deathbed, as the prophet began to deliver a word to him about a sure death that came from now. But see, he knows his death was sure now. Because now the word came from the kingdom, even in the midst of his sickness. The Bible said that Isaiah came and said, look, you're going to die. You're going to die. But one thing about Hezekiah, and I kind of admire him for this. He said, Lord, you remember. He's in the second chapter. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. He prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now. Have I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart? Now, he said he had a perfect heart. We read about Hezekiah. He wasn't too perfect. Just like me and you are not perfect, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Now, he said that everything is good in the sight of God. All of us do things good in the sight of God, but it's not so much what we do in the presence of the atmosphere of other Christians. It's what we do when we're alone, how we get those negative thoughts in our mind about individuals, how we begin to talk, scramble, you know, just kind of pitchforks at a person about what they think is wrong about them. We never really take time to do what we said. What is it? 1 Corinthians 11, 28. First let a man what examine himself. I think it was 23rd chapter, 23rd verse, 11, 28. First let a man examine himself to see if he's of the faith. So Hezekiah began to look at himself and he began to figure out what is it that may have done that even in the midst of my sickness, my God, who I've done walk right in all these days and done everything that was right and pleasing to him, that now I get a death sentence from the prophet that I'm about to die. So I'm going to plead my case before I die. And now sometimes when we're going through changes in our life, we need to plead our case to God. God, you know, I've done the best I know how to do with the mercy and grace that you have in place. Father God, look, you got to help me in the midst of my situation. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how this thing is happening with me. But I believe in declaring to the word of God and the power of the Spirit that you're going to make a way out of no way. And even as I begin to turn my face to the wall and look at the circumstances I'm dealing with, I've got to realize and understand that only one can bring me out is you. God would, look, only God can change the words of a prophet. The Bible said his word is a forward word. It's not a reverse word. He said, according to the word of God, declared by the power of the Spirit, that even when he wept in the midst of him, knowing that he had a sure death that come from the mouth of the prophet, the Bible declared, decreed in the third verse, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now when I walk before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good. Look what he says, good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept. He wept and he sore. Look what he said in the third and the fourth verse. Goes on to the fourth verse, he says right here, and it came to pass, as far as, it, he said, it came to pass afar Isaiah was going out in the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord, now this is mighty right here, this is really strong right here. It's amazing when God speaks a word, he talks about in Isaiah 55:11, his word is a 40 words, word to go forth, word I turn unto your void, but it will accomplish you all that therein. This is what amazes and mesmerizes me about this. That only God can change the mouth of a prophet. That even though we look at the word, he said, once he speak a word, it's not a void word. He won't take his word back. But God spoke to this prophet Isaiah, and he reversed the word on this man of God's life because of the type of prayer he prayed. He brought God in remembrance of the things that he had done in the life. And he has lived in the sight of God. Sometimes we're going through circumstances in our life. Sometimes we got to get down on our knees. We got to talk to God about it. We know we've done more good than bad, and some of them more bad than good. But I heard the word of God say, he don't keep counting on you. The Bible says, declare that he is his will that no man, and that no man will leave here, that all come to the righteousness of Christ. That even in a sinning situation, whatever maybe is going on in your life, if you truly repent to Christ, and you truly repent to God, and to Jesus Christ about the things that's wrong in your life, I believe God will reverse the very things that's going on in your life. You may not understand that it seems like it's a way that you can't come out, but I'm telling you, when God begins to touch you and show you, when he begins to declare that he's one that you got to depend on to whatever circumstance you're dealing with, he's going to be the one that's going to bring you out of your calamity, your orange cone, your ditch, wherever you're stuck in. God's got a type of Holy Ghost changer to pull you up out of anything. He'll repair any kind of flat that you got in your life. And whatever enemy is using to try to come against you, they make you feel other than what God declared you to be. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you better hear this prophet when he speaks to you. You got to call on the Lord in the midst of the season that you're in. And when it don't seem like you know how to get out of what you're in, the word of God says that the battle is not yours, but it's God. It brings you back to the story over in the book of 2 Chronicles. That when the word of God talks about how they came against Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat began to call on the Lord. We're going to look at that particular scripture just for a minute. For those of you with me, as I said before, let's go to the book of Chronicles. We're going to look at Chronicles, just kind of jump over Chronicles a little bit. We're just kind of basing the scripture, giving some information about how God is a changing God. He's a transformation God. He's a loving God. He's not a kill you God. He's not going to beat you down God. So when you're having things going on in your life, it's not because God's doing anything to try to hurt you. He's trying to get you to the position he wants you to go higher than when you ever been before. The Bible tells me that more praise, more power. The key to your situation is prayer. The Bible said the words of your mouth are fervent prayers. They avail much. And when God begins to give you prayers that go up, when you begin to live your life right before God, I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you better hear me when I'm speaking. God has shut down any force, of any demonic force, or any demon. The word of God declares once again, not only in the book of 2 Kings 20, and the fact what was going on in the life of this man Hezekiah, but we see also a similar story in the book of 2 Chronicles 20. When the word of God said it came to pass also to the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them beside them the Amorites against Jehoshaphat. Now notice this. The cards are stacked against Jehoshaphat. Now I'm telling you, man of God, it don't seem like he got no way out. But I'm telling you, when you read the story in the book of 2 Chronicles, he began to make a similar story to what Isaiah said to this man of God in 2 Kings. He began to cry out to God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 2, 20:2 says, then they came and told him, Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the seas of Syria and beyond those of Hazar-Thema. Notice what he's saying here. He's getting the word from some kind of stray, or somebody's giving them word. God will never leave you in a surprise visit. He's always going to give you a warning before something happens. The Bible says warning come before destruction. Before this event came against Jehoshaphat, there's somebody who came out. There was a guard or somebody came and warned Isaiah, a watchman, as it says in Ezekiel 33. A watchman came and told Jehoshaphat about the uncoming destruction trying to come against him. But I'm telling you, man of God, when God gives you a head up on something, you got to go into prayer. You got to find you an intercessor. The Word of God declares like this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, you got to know how to raise your banner, which is the power of God. When you're dealing with situations and things in your life, am I there? I believe I'm up in it somewhere. When you're dealing with things in your life, you got to know how to raise the banner, which is the Word of God. And you got to set forth and let the enemy know that I got a flag, and that this flag represents the kingdom of God. And if you run up in here, that's something will terribly happen to you, because I'm a child of God. The Bible said, touch not but anointed, do the prophets no harm, and I believe in the name of Jesus. He means that. We understand and realize that the work that we're doing for the kingdom of God is really more than what we can see. We got to understand how this particular scripture unfolds in the area of when you hermeneutic the scriptures and you look at the work that happened on Isaiah and you look at the things that came against Jehoshaphat. Similarity, God was a rescuer and a hero in both stories, but God sent warning. Warning came to Hezekiah about he would die from the prophet. In this particular story in the book of Chronicles, a man of God, one of the watchmen, which is Ezekiel 32, says such a watchman on the wall, came and told Jehoshaphat about this uncommon event that's about to come against him. And the Word of God goes on in 2 Chronicles 25, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, in Jerusalem, in the house of the new court. Notice what he's saying. God, he's about to proclaim some. This is how you raise your banner. The Bible said when the enemy come in like a flood, you raise a standard. What is a standard? Jehoshaphat finna show you what a standard is. Because Hezekiah already showed you what the standard is. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. And even as the midst of the prophet gave him a sure word, he believed enough that God had changed the mouth of a prophet, that he had given him the days he needed to get himself right with God. Of course, we know the story about Hezekiah. He went and kind of acted a fool. He got himself in position, and God didn't get the 15 years that he was promised because he called himself to go short. But in this book right here, we're in 2 Chronicles. He said, the Lord said, he said in the sixth verse, he said, O God, our Father. Now, this is a declaration. Our God, O Father, art thou the God in heaven that ruleth over all the kingdom? Look at all the heathens. See, a heathen is the one that's coming. That's the devil. That's the one that's coming to get you. All kinds of tricky, the tongue, the mouth. And what makes it so bad, when you go back up to the book of 2 Chronicles, he's going to bring some of his friends with him. In this particular case, it was the Amorites. It was all these guys that came from Hazar-Thema. All these guys was in Gil. They came and tried to plot against the man of God. Something like the things we deal with right now. You see, when you're doing something good, when you're trying to do something right, requires the enemy. All you're trying to throw what they say, a monkey wrench in your game. To try to make you feel that what God told you is not going to come to fruition. And sometimes he'll throw an impossible situation at you. And that impossible situation will come at you in such a way you don't even know how did this happen. How did I come about this particular thing? What enabled this to happen with me? And how did this go on? How did this thing take place? What was wrong here? And God is trying to get you to understand. I've been trying to get your attention for years, but I got to cause something to happen with you for you to get me to get you back in position where you need to be. But we think about this scripture. We think about these words I said before. It's amazing how Jehoshaphat, with a similar story, he's dealing with the area of Hezekiah. I want to make sure I get the right, looking at some notes here. As he did with Hezekiah, he begins to establish himself just the same way Hezekiah established himself. Jehoshaphat began to say the same thing. All these people come against me. Jehoshaphat said, you sent a prophet to me to give me a death sentence. Well, Jehoshaphat is pretty much the same thing. You send all these people down to gang up against me. No, God didn't send them to gang against you. God's going to see what kind of declaration, what kind of banner you're going to raise. And let me see you going through these circumstances in your life. What did God say? He said, Jehoshaphat said, answer to God in heaven, the ruler of all the heathens. Now look what he says. In your hands, I didn't have power and might. So none of them was able to stand thee. Now that's a powerful word right there. This is when you understand that this word falls into Psalms, a Proverbs 3:5. Lean not to your own but acknowledge God in all your ways, and he direct your path. We can take the same particular scripture, go right back, you can line it up over in the area of Matthew 6:33. And in Matthew 32 says, trust in the Lord, not just trust the Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He goes back in the book of Psalms 84:11. He talks about no good thing while whole from those who walk upright. He comes back in Psalms at that 89:34 verse. He pretty much says the same thing again, that God won't revert his covenant. I think it's over in Psalms 84:39. He talks about how he won't revert his covenants of his word. God's going to bring forth the word. When God speaks a word, it's a covenant word. It's not a contract. Men break contracts, but God don't break his covenants. Man can easily break a contract and think nothing about it, but God makes covenants. He don't make contracts. When you understand and realize who you are and whose you are, you will know and realize and understand God's got a plan that's so far and supersedes far beyond more than you can imagine and understand. I want you guys to hold on just a minute. I'm going to put you on silence here. I want to come back and take a small break here, and I want to come back here because I got some things I want to line up here as the system is in place. But kind of mail on me just a minute. We'll be right back with you here in just a second. All right, we'll make sure we get proper communication on this particular thing. Yes. All right, let's do something here. Those of you who are in the service, we're kind of back rolling. We're back on track. Sorry for the difficulty. All right, let's get this thing right moving. I want to send out this message as we take this little small break here. Sometimes not the best breaks you can take. Sometimes you try to take these breaks, the system's still moving. But in the midst of these breaks, we want to make sure we're getting the information out here because I'm actually doing text and then typing as we go forward. As we said over here in the book of Isaiah, that the word of God goes forth when I come up to me void. But just leaving off of that, going back over to the book of 2 Kings 20, we talk about the process of what's going on with Hezekiah. And the events that happened in Hezekiah's life, he began to turn to the Lord. And we rolled over here for those who are just coming in. We're talking about the book over here in the book of 2 Chronicles, which really coincides or kind of collaborates itself with the things that was going on over there in the book of the book of 2 Kings, in that 20th chapter. And the word of God began to, the man of God began to call out to God in the midst of his adversity. In the midst of his adversity, we saw some things that took place that wasn't quite the way the man of God wanted them to be. And he said over here, if we go back to the book of Kings, and it says in the fourth verse, once again, let's go back over here and reiterate on 2 Kings, the 20th chapter. Let's reiterate what he was saying right here. He said, it came to pass that before he got so far out, he was going out of the middle of the court. The word, now let me say the word of the Lord. He gave a word to the prophet Isaiah to tell this man of God his life. This is it. You can cancel Christmas. It's over. In the middle, going back out, God changed the mouth. He changed the word of a prophet. Now, what God tells me that Isaiah said, his word won't go void. But they will accomplish and do all that and therein. In the midst of this particular story, the prophet gets a changed word about the life of this man of God from the kingdom to help him to move forward in what he's doing. This is amazing. How this thing took place, that God now takes his word. It's almost like he took it back because the man prayed. I mean, Hezekiah prayed and he brought things to the remembrance of God, how he lived for God. And how he lived for God, he lived in such a way that God remember the things that he made the promises of Hezekiah about how he would live to be the type of king he lived. And Hezekiah brought it all back to his face. Look, I lived good in your sight, that my heart was right before you. I want you to remember this in the midst of my trouble. I believe, and I believe this to be true, and I just believe this to be true. I believe the more good you put out, I believe the more seed you'll have to draw from in a time of need. It's kind of like with tithes and offering. If you tithe into good ground during the course of the time when you're in need, I believe God will bring the type of harvest you need in the middle of whatever it is that you're doing. I honestly believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that God is yet still in the midst of doing things in such a way that it'll help us in whatever that we're doing, that God will not revert or go back on anything that he said he would do. I don't believe not one moment that God would give up on me and you about because of a critical situation that happened in our life. I think about the prophet, the man of David. He talked about when David and the process happened, Bathsheba, and then his right-hand man, Uriah, was ready to chop Saul's head off because he was getting ready to go against David to try to kill him. And I think about that how David caused his right-hand man to be killed in the midst of the war, sent a letter because of the lust of his flesh, and he caused his right-hand man to die in battle so he could have to hide what it was that he'd done with that man's wife. And I'm telling you, just as that baby was born, and that woman gave birth to that baby. As fast as that baby was born, that prophet came and gave a word to David. Your house is in shame. Your house is under the rulership of the kingdom of God. And thus say the Lord God, you have sinned, and you have brought the kingdom of Jerusalem down. And I have not havoc will come on your house. That son will not live. You bought that son out of sin. I'm not saying there's anything that God kills children. But I believe some of the things we do in life will cause a lot of anger and hurt in our own life when we begin to make decisions out of the ramification of the kingdom of God. I believe when we make decisions about things, I believe it's a consequence that we have to pay down the line. I don't reckon that's why the word of God say that you know, when you asking me, ask with the prayer to know that I'm going to give you the answer. My yeas may be yeas, my nays may be nays. But you know, God really never tells you no. He said, just not yet. In the midst of that situation you're in, you kind of really think back and say, well, I wonder, was that really truly of God? Did God really give this? Did really God bring this to pass? I mean, was my decision my own, or was it of God? Did he really help me? Did he give me? Did I make the right decision? And you just, next time you got to analyze yourself. A lot of times I went through things and I had to analyze myself. And then, did I want to do it because it was something I wanted? It was because of what God wanted. No, what happened? What was the problem with that situation that caused it to go bad, caused it to fall into that calamity that it was in? And I had to really examine myself truly, because I don't think God or do things to me or you to cause us to have problems in our life. We want to make sure we're getting some. I run the switchboard on this call also. And as I run the switchboard, I get calls in from people who come in, and I invite them to come into the show and be a part of what we're doing. Because I know for a fact that when we're doing things on this particular show, I know the enemy is always trying to come in and try to stop. He's always trying to stop the word. But I believe, and I'm not saying this to be negative in any way, I believe the show had to take an interruption. I honestly believe the show had to take an interruption today, because that was some things that God didn't want to be in play on this particular channel today. As I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, he said, I allowed that to happen. I wanted that to happen because of the reason I felt there was some things that was about to call in to be a part of the show that I didn't want to be there. You know, sometimes you got to watch how you treat the men of God, the prophets of God, how you talk to them, how you talk about them, and what you're saying, and the secret will come to life. And I believe some things that happened today, and I'm telling you, man and woman of God, I believe it was for a reason that this had to happen. This particular, it had to go down. It had to take place like this. I don't know particularly why. But I knew it had to take place. This thing had to happen. And I believe it was for a reason, that whoever's calling in now needed to be in. Because I got more callers on here now than when I first started. it seemed like when I was going through the stipulations and dilemma, those first 12 callers, just it just wasn't triggering off for whatever reason. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand the names or the ways of God, because he told me, according to Isaiah 55, in that 8 verse, he said, for my ways, your ways, my thoughts, your thoughts, my plans, your plans, it's far from the heaven for earth. So I got to be able to understand and realize that whatever God was trying to pull out of this message today and try to eliminate the ears that needed to hear it, he done it through stipulations to the system. Because now the system is picking up fine. We have no problems with it. We got more callers in now than we had when we first started. For whatever particular reason, whatever reason why it took place, I don't know. But I do know one thing. God knows what he's doing. So he knows what he's doing. I'm telling you, you will see some things that you will never, ever see before. And I'm telling you, man of God, this thing had to happen for a reason. You know, it had to happen for a reason. And I don't know particularly why it happened. But it happened. But, you know, I got a newfound friend. I see his number in here, and I want to, I'm going to kind of light him up a little bit. He may be in there. He may not. But I'm going to fire him up a little bit. I'm going to give him the room to talk a little bit. And this is my new friend. I ain't going to give his last name. His name is Ricky. And out of all the numbers, I see a 469-623 in it. I'm going to hit Ricky. And Ricky, I'm going to tell you something. This is probably your first time on this line, man of God. And what you have to do on your phone is hit that number one button on your phone. That'll bring you right into the show. And I want you guys to meet my new friend, Ricky. You don't need to know Ricky's last name. In due time, you get to know more about that. But he's a good young man. And I think he's got a heart for the kingdom of God. And you're going to see him a part of the shows here more often. So I'm going to let him introduce himself. And I have a few things to say about the show. Well, go ahead, Ricky.
Hello, my name is Minister Wren, and I'm enjoying the show and loving the prophet, what he's saying, and giving me some spiritual advice.
Amen. You know, on this show, you don't got to be shy to your lead way. I'll let you talk. I want you to be familiar, because, you know, there are some things God may be doing with you in your life and where you're going. And I want you to maybe go ahead and just, you know, you can elaborate on the subject. You want to elaborate on the scripture. You're more than welcome to do that. You know, you're getting the opportunity, okay, to do that. They're listening. So you got the opportunity to do that if you so see the feet.
Okay. I just want to listen. I mean, right now,
amen.
I'm going through some. I can hear you. I said, I just want to listen right now and learn some things, but right now I'm learning and going
amen.
Through some things at the same time.
Amen. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes, Ricky, we all yet going through transformation. You remember the scripture in the book of Isaiah? What is it, Jeremiah? Remember Jeremiah talked about the process, and he said that told Jeremiah to go down to the 18th chapter. He told him to go down to the potter's house. And the way down to the potter's house, God began to show him some things that he didn't quite understand. And the potter began to tell him, you know, Jeremiah, the Lord said, look at the clay in the potter's hand. Can I do with you what I will? And we talk about these scriptures, Ricky. We talk about the process of these things. All, you know, prophets and priests been going through things for years. We've been dealing with things for years. And it's just a part of what we do as being man and woman of God. We go forth. Sometimes you have those who love you, those who don't like you. And you know what? You got to know how to weave through the crowd and just keep on moving. But, you know, we really enjoy the fact that you had a chance to join us today. We got quite a few people on the line. We thank God for them. And we just want to make sure that we get your opportunity to be able to speak and say something during the course of the time of the show and let them know you are my newfound friend. And they're going to be hearing from you soon about some things that's going on and how God is going to do some transformations in your life. But God bless you. God keep you. I want to let you guys know that's my good new friend, Ricky. He gave you his last name, but I'm not going to give his last name, but I'm not going to give his full number either. But we do privacy on here. And we kind of just use the first three parts of the area code for people who are calling in and being a part of the show. But I want to thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts just for being on the show this afternoon. I want to bring a little bit more to the scriptural variation about what was going on with this particular prophet, Isaiah, with this, what he had brought to the man of God about what he was dealing with. And there's a whole slew of things that, you know, we seem to recognize in the process of recognizing, and we don't think about it, but that the prophets and the priests went through things in their life. You know, we look at Jehoshaphat's problem. We look at Saul's problem. You were just having to pick out a couple of men that went through some things in their life. And one or two of the men were dealing with, man, was dealing with Jehoshaphat, dealing with Hezekiah, dealing with this man of God, Isaiah, and how Isaiah was used as being a check system to come in to make sure that he's going to keep things in order. So when I think about this particular scripture and I just think about the process, or just think about 2 Chronicles 20, it really is an amazing scripture, how you go through situations in your life. And when you're going through situations in your life, and despite of what the doctors may say, and this is what I really want to kind of push home here, that even though you hear a word of bad news about you in your life, or a situation that's going through in your life, you know, you got to believe that somewhere in the midst of all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. You know, God's in the midst of all the things. As I said before, the top of the telecast, you know, there was a reason why, and I don't know why, that we weren't supposed to go live with what we had on the first time. And I believe God threw an interruption in there. And sometimes in the midst of you getting things to see, you don't know what God is doing. So I put that out there to say this. You know, God, he's transferring some things in the lives of certain people. He's transferring and bringing new things and new ideas in the midst of all that he's doing. He's moving and doing things in such a way that we don't quite understand how. But I believe if the word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, we lean not to our own, we begin to give a full acknowledgement and understanding of God. I believe there's a direction he'll give us. You know, as he says, we go back, we think about the word of Isaiah. For those of you who want to go to the book of Isaiah, I've been kind of pulling at Isaiah for a while here. But I want to just look at the book of Isaiah and then just look at, we're talking about Isaiah, but we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. We were just in the book of Chronicles, we was in the book of Kings. And I want to look at something in the book of Isaiah, how God really takes the book of Isaiah and he lines up the word of Isaiah with the word in Proverbs 3:5. You take your Bibles, you go to the book of Isaiah, and you go to Isaiah, I believe it's over in Isaiah 55. I want to look at Isaiah 55 here. Just kind of pull it up here in Isaiah 55. I want to look around at about that eighth verse. It's a powerful verse. It's reading from one all the way down. But that eighth verse, he makes a strong word here about how we are, as men and women of God, need to really mind the things and hear what God has to say during the season with the end. Because we don't know the plan that God has in store for us. I think my wife's favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. The word of God says, "If I don't know the thoughts and the plans that I got for you." Well, he says the same thing here. And he kind of mingles this word, and he kind of really brings this word in fruition, what he's talking about in terms of us being obedient. The word of God said we ought to lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways, and then he directs our path. This particular scripture over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and 6, he said that, we'll go down here to the, let's look at the 8th verse. He said, "But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord." Now he makes a very comparison that as far as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, the variation of the truth of God's word, like he was told the prophet Isaiah, which we read in Isaiah, to go tell Hezekiah, his word is as sure, if you read in verse 10, "For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven," look, he said, "it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bud and bring forth," well, it actually make it and bring forth bud, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." This is an amazing word, a sure word that's coming from the kingdom of God. As you go through the stipulations of life, the circumstances, and all the problems you have, God's got a sure word. As sure as he's speaking the word in Jeremiah 29:11, as sure as he's speaking the word here, as sure as he spoke the word over in the book of 2 Chronicles of Jehoshaphat, as sure as he's speaking the word here, as sure as he spoke the word to Hezekiah, as sure as he's speaking the word here. God said, "My thoughts and my plans are not nowhere near yours." But the word of God says one thing to sum this all up. You're bringing this into the equation. Psalm 84:11 says it like this. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, say the Lord." That's Psalms 84:11. He said, God is a, matter of fact, he said, God is a sun and a shield. The amazing part of Psalms 84:11 is that God, he puts a protection on his word. God's word is shield. It's a shield. It's like a it's the power of the ray. They say when Paul was on the road to Damascus, they say they saw a sun. They say the light shining in the noonday sun. Now we're talking about full noon. They say the light that he saw was brighter than that. We talk about the process of dealing with the Hebrew boys, but Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the furnace. They said the light that was in the furnace was lighter than the furnace that was hotter than every fire on earth. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, when you understand the power of God, the illumination of God, the transformation of God, God will begin to pick your enemies off one by one. He pick them off like birds, like eagles going after rabbits in the field. As I said before, the first part of my service wasn't for it to come on because there was people who were coming in that didn't care about what I was doing. And as a matter of fact, as God bring it to my remembrance, he said, I'm bringing new crews and new things into your season. And as I bring new crews and new things into your season, you're not going to understand some things that I'm doing. But the way I'm going to do it is going to be a way that you may, it's going to mesmerize you. And I'm telling you, man and woman of God, and I'm telling you, I know they're listening. For those who it may be, I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's a time that God gives a warning through the mouth of the priest or the prophet how you need to get your life in order, because that's one day somebody going to bring a word to you and tell you to get your house in order, that one day you're going to leave here, and I'm telling you, brother, you're going to leave here on the right side. Don't get caught on the wrong side. Don't get caught up in all these dilemmas, all these circumstances, all these problems, all this bickering. All this cahooching that's going on. Get away from that. Try to walk and be civil with God. The Bible talks about it in the book of Galatians at chapter 5 and 16. He talks about the process of walk in the spirit, that you won't feel the lust and the desires of the flesh. I believe that the man Hezekiah was saying his very words to God, and he turned his face to the wall in the midst of his sickness. And he asked the Lord, Lord, you remember me. You remember me, how I walked right before you. And the word of God remembered that word that that Hezekiah said to him. And before the man got a fall off, as it says over here in 2 Kings and 20, he said before he got a fall off, they said God sent that prophet back and declared to that man, I'm in 6th verse of 2 Kings 20, I'm going to have 15 more years. I will deliver thee, this city, out of your hand. Look what he says here in the 6th verse of 2 Chronicles, 2nd Kings and 20. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in the, not only him, I will deliver thee in this city out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. Am I in there anywhere? And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my own servant David's sake. He remembered the things that David did in the time that he was king and the promises God made. And you got to understand and realize in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, Hezekiah was caught in the middle of a powerful situation. Sometimes you're caught in between two forces and you don't know which way to go. You got a negative force here. You got a positive force here. God says sometimes you got to learn how to just stand still. And let God begin to draw you spiritually to what side is right. He may pull you to the left. He may pull you to the right. But I believe the prayer that Hezekiah prayed, he could have went either way. But God saw fit to keep him in the middle and add 50 more years to his life. And not only that, deliver him in the whole city. Sometimes God will see you in the midst of your situation. And you don't know which way you're going. You don't understand why it's happening. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you better hear the words I'm speaking today. God got something more in store than you can imagine and think of. He said, for all things work together. All things work together for the good of those who love him, who are called by my name. Apostle Charles, I was here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. I want to bring my wife in here. I know she's on the line here. Somebody said they heard a woman talking this morning. And during the course of the time the show was going on, well, this is the woman you were hearing the voice of. And I don't know if she's there, but I'm going to let her speak out. I hope she's there. Let her speak out, have something to say before we get off of this line. Pastor?
Hi. Good evening, everyone. We thank you all for joining us this evening. And it's such a pleasure to have everybody on board with us. And I just want to tell you to just continue to tune in, because we have such exciting things that are coming forth, and the Lord is just really working with Apostle here and with this ministry. And we also want to encourage you all to visit our website. There is an opportunity to support the ministry on there, and then you also will see what is going on in the ministry. So we just thank you all, and just know that we all love you, and we really, truly appreciate your support.
I'm telling you, it's great. The woman of God came on. Most of you heard her services that take place. She could probably tell you yourself, but my mouth is rotor ruined, so I might as well go and tell you. Every Monday, you know, she has a service every Monday at 10:30 a.m. That's Pastor Patty Ellis' radio show. You can go on down to the Spreaker.com, and you can type in your access search bar, Patty Ellis' radio show. And then you got Tuesday, she comes back, which was today, about 11 o'clock, you know. And sometime on occasion, she does a 1 o'clock program also. And that's probably once a month that she does the 1 o'clock. But she's bringing forth those words on those 2 days, weekdays, which is Monday and Tuesday. And she comes right back again for you guys over here on Sunday morning at 9:45 for our educational class. And that's under Pastor Patty Ellis. You'll catch her in our morning show at 9:45. So as I said before, for those of you who want to be a part of some of the information we're doing, so like I said, I'm going to make sure I iterate this very clear. There's some of the things that happened to the system early today. It had to happen for a reason. We don't know, why it happened, but we know it. Now that we think about it, it had to happen for a reason. Because now all of a sudden things pops back into place. We just, wow, what happened right there? That was amazing. So God intends things to happen sometime the way that we don't understand. What we got to do is sit back and pray. We prayed the prayer, and we asked God to help us and show us and direct us and guide us. And he gave us just that, you know. And I believe that where we are right now is really where we should be. I want to thank our international team, who's always been a part of our services. We want to apologize to them guys because they never get the chance to call in or do anything because of the, you know, where they are in this particular international ministry. They're out in areas of India. We got someone coming in the area of France, or some call it India, Philippines. We got they coming all in, but their numbers are light up as zero, so we don't get a chance to hear them, but they can hear us. And we thank God for you guys that make it our show possible. We thank God for you being with us. We thank you for support, you know, both financially and physically and spiritually. We thank you for your prayers. But to each and every one of you out there, and to my good new friend who's actually doing a part of the show, you know, you got to win one soul at a time, one at a time. And I don't know who he may know. You got to probably bring in a whole multitude of people to the show, amen? But we thank God for each one that we bring in, just being a part of the show. We're not making any commitments. We just want people to realize, hey, we're doing a great work. And you can tell your friends about what we're doing here at Harvest Light Church. You can go to our website, which is harvestlightchurch.com. See all the information you need to know about this ministry and the work we're doing. You'll be in tune with a lot of our radio shows. Of course, this one, we got the Lifting Show. You can catch us on Themer, Twitter, Boxster, Ping. You can catch all our information on all these particular channels. And you can see everything you need to know about me and the woman of God here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios. And it's a blessing for you guys to be with us on this evening as we hear from the Word of God as He spoke, I think, very clearly about circumstances and situations in life and how we should know how to raise our banner in the midst of the proclivities that we go through in life and not worry about circumstances. Believe that God is a deliverer of everything that we go through. Each and every one of you, to the woman of God, to the man of God, and all who's on the line with us on tonight, we thank you. We bless you. We appreciate you joining us on this show tonight. Until then, God bless you and God bless you.